You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, formerly Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 91.
I don't want to wait for 15th. I don't need another judgment day. No, anything the good Lord giveth, Uncle Sam, he taketh away. Because Big Brother's got a big debt. Baby, guess who has to pay? It's the way you mug me. It's unspeakable pain. It's a personal washout down a bottomless drain. It's abhorrently taxing. It's unbelievable. Kiss this, kiss this.
Hi, this is Rod Murray. Glad to be back. In recognition of Tax Day, that's a clip from the parody Kiss This, Hey, IRS, by Robert Lund, who is a very talented comedy singer and songwriter. If that tune sounds familiar, it's based on the country music singer Faith Hill's This Kiss, which was number one on the pop charts back in 1998. So don't forget to stay tuned at the end of my podcast for the full song. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I'll post the links to all of the resources I discuss on my show notes website at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Well, let's move on to my main topic today, Blackboard, and my interview with Ray Henderson, who recently joined Blackboard as president of the company's teaching and learning division, Blackboard Learn. Ray is focused on product development, client success and support, as well as the global services and managed hosting functions. Before coming to Blackboard, he led Angel Learning's product strategy, product development, and marketing efforts. In the past, he also worked at Pearson Publishing, first on publishing textbooks, and then digital products like My Math Lab. He also played roles at eCollege and the IMS Global Learning Consortium, where he currently serves on the board. Personally, I've had a pretty long history with Blackboard. I introduced Blackboard at my previous home, Thomas Jefferson University, after I posted my lectures on pharmacokinetics on Course Info, or what was later known as Blackboard 3.0, back in 1998. We eventually established the enterprise level of Blackboard 5 as our institutional portal at Jefferson in 2000. When I joined U Sciences in 2008, I learned that after a brief stint with Blackboard Basic, they moved to Angel, as some institutions did, to save money. Well, here we go again. In the interest of full disclosure, we recently committed to moving to Blackboard 9.1. I may be accused of being a Blackboard fanboy, but my experience with Blackboard hasn't always been so smooth, so I promise not to go easy on them. So without further ado, here's my interview with Ray Henderson. Well, Ray, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk to me and my audience on The Pulse. I've been a longtime fan of Blackboard, so I'm quite pleased at having this opportunity. During the intro to this podcast, I mentioned how you were at Angel, which is what we are currently using at U Sciences here. And then you became the president of Blackboard Learn once Blackboard acquired Angel. So if you recall from our earlier conversation, U Sciences is about to migrate back to Blackboard, having been a Blackboard Basic customer about 4 years ago. So this prompts me for my first question. What will our faculty notice first about the switch from Angel to Blackboard 9.1?
First of all, Rod, thank you for having me today. What they would notice first, I think obviously the visual experience of the two products will be somewhat different. Although I think, you know, over time, they are becoming much more aligned. And there's certainly, you know, a number of things that are influences from the Angel product on the look and feel of the NG product already. And one of those, I think, is just the approach to the, sort of the visual weight of the pages and the amount of, just to use kind of a geeky term, the cognitive load, you know, on the end user. There we're certainly taking inspiration from the Angel UI on the way that the NG product looks. The other thing that's been a source of influence, you know, from Angel to NG is about the amount of time and the amount of work that one has to do to get insight into class behavior. And so there are a number of things about the experience in Angel that, you know, help orient faculty to key indicators about classroom behavior and student activities that have influenced NG, and so should be familiar, if not exactly the same. Now, as far as major differences, the contextual menus that are pulled down, say, to add an assignment type, that metaphor for navigation will be a little bit different. The number of items, though, that can be added, there will be a larger number of assessment types that can be added. And I think in general, where Angel may have tabbed interfaces that break work into a series of tabs as you read left to right across them, say, when you are creating assignment, Blackboard will tend to be have fewer tabs and a bit of a longer single page that's conducting quite similar end-user interviews as they're moving through the product. But ultimately, we think that the experience is going to be one that's quite a recognizable one. And certainly we endeavor to make sure that we have a style or a theme for the NG product that will be specifically tailored to Angel clients and things that they are familiar with.
That sounds great. I've seen a little bit of 9.1, and it does look cleaner from the standpoint of the faculty user going in there and editing, adding content. You've had a great reputation, I think, of moving Blackboard forward. I was wondering if you can tell us a little bit more about your direction and your plans for the future.
Sure. You know, well, first of all, thanks. There was a positive nod about direction, you know, that's happened in the last 2 years. And, you know, and I think the thing that I've gotten positive feedback from about the community and about the work that I've tried to help catalyze here at Blackboard is in many ways bringing some of the approach that we had at Angel to the Blackboard community. And I'd characterize it as far as the broad themes. There's one that I can unpack that's really about focusing on the fundamentals of the experience that we provide to the community. And I define those fundamentals as support, how we respond to users when they need us most, transparency, which is how we communicate with the users, how much insight we give them into the direction that we're taking, how much we incorporate the community into decisions that we're making that impact both the product and the levels of support. Openness, both technological openness and our approach to openness in terms of how we conduct our business at Blackboard. And then product quality. And I think on the latter, this is another one where there's a lot of things about quality that people tend to think about that in terms of simply how many bugs are there in the product. We take a more expansive view of that around the whole experience that we provide to the customers and every way that they, you know, that they touch us and interact with us, and you know how well prepared we are for each of those forms of interaction. And so all of those, in the time that I've been here, I've made sure that looking at all of those questions have really been the majority of the time we have spent as a company in improving our product and our performance for our clients. And I'm quite pleased to say that in all of those areas, the clients are responding with improved scores for us about their satisfaction with Blackboard as a company. So, I tend to talk a lot about those within the user community because they are just so important, particularly, you know, given the choices that people have today about what technologies and technology companies they use, you know, in their relationships. So that, I would say, is a broad set of changes. The other that have really been more of an impact in the last 6 months have been how our vision for education and how we're broadening our vision for education and our role in it. And I'd say if you look at the number of things that we have done as a company and the strategic investments that we have made, the most noticeable ones are first in mobile technology. We recognized the very rapid move of end user educators and also instructors to using mobile technologies. And you've seen a very dramatic investment in that area from Blackboard. And I think a very high level of performance in setting a vision about how these technologies can be used to help improve education and education delivery. The second is in the area of synchronous collaboration. I think it's, again, quite natural that a company focused primarily on asynchronous with partnerships into the synchronous area, quite natural that at some point bringing synchronous learning into the mix and investing more heavily in that, it seems quite natural, I think, to most of our clients that we would do that. And the driver behind that was as much about the emergent forms of collaboration and their relative importance as it was to just simply that mode of the delivery of education. It's the office hours, it's the collaboration between educators to create education materials, it's the student working groups that are proliferating. And so we were quite pleased to have made an investment in that area. More recently, just in Q4, we announced a major investment in the area of analytics. And this is something that there's a combination of both. We acquired a company called iStrategy that has built quite a reputation in terms of analytics that result from enterprise roll-up of information that might live in a student information system or an ERP system. We've combined that with organic R&D that we have been doing that actually began during the time period where I was at Angel Learning, where we were focused a bit more on learning analytics, and we've brought forward a new vision there. Now, the analytics story is really one that's about the fundamentals of how things are changing around accreditation and the growing need for a data-driven decision-making culture amongst education leaders. It's really quite palpable that more than ever before, education leaders are being asked to perform more like business leaders in justifying the expense that they have, in showing what I'll call ROI or return on investment, whether it's in terms of improvement in learning or in financial terms. And so the approach that accreditation has been taking is really one that, in addition to the external reviews for quality, there's a much stronger tone around continuous process improvement. And it's incumbent on institutions today to show more about how they identify problems, how they approach solving those problems at scale, and analytics and the ability to do longitudinal comparison between program performance 1 year over the next, those sorts of things are becoming much more important in the marketplace. You know, I'll also add, as far as that scope, it is not lost on us that when we think about the dean and the university president and the chancellor and how they look at education problems, they're clearly looking much more broadly than the LMS and the delivery of learning, whether in a hybrid form or online form, which is Blackboard's historic strength. The importance of supporting education in the student registration, the student financial aid processes, these are also just very important to us. And as we, really try to enrich the quality of partnership that we offer the educators that we serve, we know that these are serious problems. And so we've invested heavily there. Once again, we've made an acquisition. The former Presidium has been brought in and has now been rebranded Blackboard Student Services. This is a company that's supported with Help Desk about 700 of our clients already, but they are also very active in providing student registration and student financial aid support services to our campuses. And those are very rapidly growing parts of that business and areas that we are investing heavily in.
Thank you for the update on your future direction. Just to put things into perspective for our faculty, they know we're going to Blackboard, but most think in terms of just replacing the Angel LMS. We're fortunate to be getting the mobile product as well, which I think is very important these days. Also, in the synchronous area, we're probably going to purchase Illuminate or Wimba anyway, so you made our decision a bit easier with the combined products in Blackboard Collaborate. And then you mentioned the analytics. We're not currently getting the Outcomes product, but maybe is on our radar for maybe a year from now. And I was just wondering if you could expand a little bit more on how your purchase of iStrategy and your analytics product, how is that going to relate to Blackboard Outcomes? Is this going to be rolled into one set of services, or will these you know, be two separate things to consider?
So, Rod, great question. And, you know, our investment and our strategy is prompted across a range of clients, you know, that we've got. And so, look, so right now, I guess I'd characterize it this way. I mean, the key thing that we wanted to do there was to balance the investments that we make around classroom technologies for education delivery with institutional technologies and support. So outcomes fit that category for us before, and analytics now add significant weight in that area to help us balance our portfolio. Now, outcomes does a number of things. You know, it allows for end-of-class survey and other surveys that are of that type. It allows for evidence collection in support of accreditation, and it allows for sort of a project management, creating projects that are about institutional improvement, taking those projects through a life cycle. The analytics side is really more, it's extremely focused on the data analysis rather than being the sort of data warehousing tool sets like Cognos or things like that that people can use to create data warehouses. The analytics product that we offer and the approach that we're taking is one of a pre-built data warehousing application where we take a data model that is already proven to work in support of the needs for educators, map that onto the sources of data that you have, pull all the data in, and then create a dimensional data warehouse that's capable of supporting a real-time dashboard for education decision makers, and then also allowing them, and particularly the researchers, to drill down into the underlying data. So the basic relationship that makes sense to us at this time is to say that outcomes is really more about collecting data, and analytics is more about analyzing that data and providing tools for insight into the data. For now, they continue to be offered separately. There are opportunities for us to think about bundling those in the future or about even broader changes as we broaden the portfolio. I will set expectations that over the span of the 12 to 18 month period, you can expect that we'll probably have some announcements, you know, in that area, but nothing at the moment.
Okay, that's it for this part of the interview. I hope you learned a little bit more about the future of Blackboard. Next month, I'll share part two of the interview. You'll hear more about Blackboard's future directions, including education standards, e-portfolios, and competition from open source products. Again, see the links on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. And please stay tuned for This Kiss, Hey IRS. Until next time, have a great week.
April 15th, I don't need another judgment day. No, anything the good Lord giveth, Uncle Sam, he taketh away. 'Cause Big Brother's got a big debt, baby, guess who has to pay? It's the way you mug me, it's unspeakable pain. It's a personal washout down a bottomless drain. It's abhorrently taxing, it's unbelievable. Kiss this, kiss this. Hey IRS, kiss this, kiss this. Doing taxes ain't so scary. Simply add up what you made. Oh, take it to the actuary, where he subtracts the tax you've paid. Then you mail in twice the difference, plus a check for Medicaid. It's a Form 1040. It's a penalty clause. It's inscrutable worksheets. It's nonsensical laws. It's unspendable income. It's undeductible. Kiss this, kiss this. Hey, IRS, kiss this, kiss this. You can tax me on my taxes, then you tax the funds that remain. Oh, you can tax me on bikini waxes for a jolt of similar pain. Oh, slap on sadistic audits, don't let anything pass. You bent me over, so kiss my assets. It's the way you mug me, it's relentlessly lame. It's aggressively wasteful, this unwinnable game. It's unsportsmanlike conduct, it's undepreciable. Kiss this, kiss this. It's criminal. Kiss this, kiss this. Kiss my bottom, I'm a baby. Kiss my bottom, I'm a darling.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company. The revolution.